Brethren, if you're going through that fire right now, again, don't give up. Some of you may be going through that trial that this preacher doesn't know about. I'm unaware of it. Don't give up. Be patient and endure, because God hasn't left you. He's still there. Glory in those tribulations. Praise God in those tribulations. Bow down before God and thank Him during those times of trial. Thank Him when He seems to not even be present or near you. Thank Him. Don't give up. God hasn't left you. So I'd like us now to open up our Bibles, turn on our Bibles now to James chapter 5 and verse 10. And we're going to continue with our character study, if you will, or at least the characteristic study of the characters of Old Testament men, the seven characteristics of a godly man. And today we're going to look at the patience of Job. We're going to be focusing on Job. Absolutely. James chapter 5 and verse 10. I have it unfolded here. And the scripture says, and we all there, by the way, I want to make sure everyone's there, including you online. James chapter 5 and verse 10. And the Bible says, take my brethren, that's a command, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Now I'd like us to turn into the Old Testament, to Job chapter 1. And we will read a lengthy portion of Scripture here, the first two chapters of Job. So those of you online, I'd like you now to turn to Job chapter 1. And we're going to read right through to the end of chapter 2. Here to give us a little bit of a background on Job. My mouth is quite dry today. Job chapter 1, and we'll begin now in verse 1. Are we all there? There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, and 3,000 camels, and 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 she-asses, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all men, of all the men of the east. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And I believe here the sons of God here are heavenly beings. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And I might add, he is still doing that today, seeking whom he may devour. Verse 8. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Well, Satan saw what kind of a Christian he was. Continue on here. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord, and there was a day when his sons and his daughters, look in the Bible, it's not on me now, were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a message unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabians fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants of the with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another. Thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking in their eldest brother's house, and behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped. Now, I just want to stop there for a moment. What if this happened to you? Is that the first thing you're going to do? God has literally stripped you of everything, including your health, by the way. Yet he bowed down and worshipped the Lord. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Now continue on into chapter 2. And again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came also among them to present himself before the Lord. What does that tell you? Satan today still has access into heaven to come before God's throne. It's not until Revelation chapter 12 where he'll be officially cast out to this earth. And eventually, Revelation chapter 20, where he'll be cast alive into the lake, he'll be bound for 1,000 years in the bottomless pit, and then after that, the final rebellion, cast alive into the lake of fire. And the Lord said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? And Satan answered and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? And still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause? And Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. Put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is thine, he is in thine hand, but save his life. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot under his crown, and he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? By the way, evil speaks of calamity here. You do understand that. And all this did not Job sin with his lips? Now, when Job's three friends heard of all this evil that was come upon him, they came every one from his own place. Eliphaz the Temanite, and Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite, for they had made an appointment together to come to mourn with him and to comfort him. And when they lifted up their eyes afar off and knew him not, they lifted up their voice and wept. And they rent every one his mantle and sprinkled dust upon their heads toward heaven. So they sat down with him upon the ground 7 days and 7 nights, and none spake a word unto him, for they saw that his grief was very great. Heavenly Father, I give thee thanks once again, Lord, for the blessing of thy word. And Lord, I do ask that thou wouldst give me the necessary unction from on high to preach this message that thou hast laid on my heart. I trust, Lord, it will be both an encouragement, Lord, and serve to edify those in attendance here today, Lord. In Jesus' precious name I pray, amen. Amen. Now, to give you a little bit of a background on Job was a Gentile from the land of Uz, as they say, some believe would be modern day Saudi Arabia, not quite Edom, but in that area, who lived around the time of Abraham. So he was a contemporary of Abraham, approximately 4,000 years ago. Now, there is no evidence to suggest that Job knew Abraham personally, but we do know that they lived around the same time frame. Now, concerning Job, the Bible tells us a few things about him. For one, we know that he was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. He was godly. He was not only godly, rather, but he was also very wealthy, which is a very rare combination. Generally speaking, those who are rich in most cases tend to have very little interest when it comes to the things of God. They're very hard to win the Christ. It can happen, of course, but they're very hard, indeed. But based on the opening verses of Job chapter 1, one would think that Job was a simple man of humble means. Yet this is not the case based on the world standards. No, no. He was a wealthy man. He was a man of great influence, one might say. The Bible tells us that God had blessed Job greatly in a material sense. We know that he was married and had 10 children. His livestock numbered in the thousands, and we are told that his household was also very great. So that this man was the greatest of all men of the East, the Bible says. We also learn that his sons were also very rich as well. So his wealth was passed down the family. But it wasn't until God allowed Satan to afflict him that we really saw, that we truly saw the godly character of Job reveal itself, come to a head. I often wonder here, when God afflicts you, I'm not talking about disease, by the way, afflicts you, brings about persecution. We've been studying Baptist history. There may come a time when you're going to be told to deny Christ. Deny the Lord Jesus Christ, or else. What will you do? Will you deny him for the creature comforts? For protection? Think of Richard Wurmbrand. He was the only one who stood up to the communists. Wherever so-called, quote-unquote, I know he's a Lutheran, I understand that. They're also called pastors aligned themselves with the state church and were protected. I was a bit itchy here too. I'm constantly sorry. Apologize. Not professional. Amen. See, it's a whole lot easier to sing praises to God when very little adversity comes your way. But when they come your way, then your faith is tried. Then your faith will be truly revealed. So my question to you here is, how godly are you? You know what? I think we have it too easy here. We still have it too easy in this nation. We need some trials. We need some hardships to come our way, and I believe they will be coming our way. We need to know what it's like when God has stripped us from everything and put us in the place where we are utterly reliant on Him. That's what happened to Job. By the way, God used Satan to do it. See, although Satan afflicted Job, the trial and testing was of God. It was God ordained. Now, when it comes to Job's prominent character trait, we learn that it was his patience. Ye have heard of the patience of Job. Job 5 and verse 10. Patience is a trait that we as Christians may often lack. Some of you here may lack that patience. Yet, it is one that we all need. James 1 and verse 3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Now, speaking to the men here, although this can also be equally applied to the women as well, the time will come when you will have your faith tested, when you will have your faith tried. How will you respond? How will you respond? If it hasn't come already, it's coming. It's coming. So my question to you is, are you ready for it? Are you prepared? Because when the trials come, they will serve to fully work your patience. That's what the Bible says. No testing in your life means no patience. It's the trying of your faith that worketh patience. This is what happens. This is what happened to Job when his trials came one by one in successive fashion. When you have it easy, there's no need for patience. It's all falling in your lap. But when God takes it away, and you don't know what's going to happen next, that's when your faith is tried. And you're brought to a place where you're utterly reliant on the Lord. Indeed. When trials come, they are like gold in the fire furnace. See, the heat separates, in the furnace, heat separates the dross from the impurities to bring forth the metal in its purest form. Likewise, when God brings about those fiery trials in our lives, He does so to purify you. He does so to refine you. He does so to draw you closer to Him. Job said, "But He knoweth the way that I take. When He hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." He understood that principle. He understood what he was going through. He knew at the end of that, he's going to come forth as pure gold. He will have been refined. He will have been purified. He would have grown in his walk. He would have grown closer to his Lord. He would have been more thankful for what God had given him and blessed him with. Often we take things for granted. Job's testing. The first two chapters of the book of Job tell us about his testing and what he went through. And we read those. Three times in those chapters, God himself tells us about Job's character. He was perfect, upright, and feared God, and eschewed evil. Both before and after he lost everything, God was able to say that he had the same characteristics. He never quit in the face of adversity. And I say, you don't quit in the face of adversity, because it's coming if it hasn't already. He never gave up when all seemed lost. No, he was still a man who could be described as perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. My dear friends and gentlemen, I'm speaking to you specifically, but the women, it can be applied as well. Can the same be said of you? Can it? Be true. When Job's faith was being tried, he lost his family, he lost his wealth, and he lost his health. He lost it all. Just imagine what was going through his mind. What next? What next, Lord? When is this going to end? But you know what? He never lost his faith. He never lost his relationship with the Savior. Through his trials, Job was patient and he endured where most would have given up. Would you have given up? You have heard the patience of Job. The context of the word patience means cheerful endurance. It means constancy or waiting. It is endurance without murmuring, that is complaining or complaining. Here's how Webster defines the word patience. The suffering of afflictions, pain, toil, calamity, provocation of other evil with a calm, unruffled temper, endurance without murmuring or fretfulness. Sadly, this does not seem to describe the character of most men. Yet we must endeavor to display cheerful endurance when the trials befall us. We must endeavor. We must be patient in running the race that is set before us. Hebrews 12:1. We must be patient in waiting on God. By the way, waiting on God doesn't mean sitting still. Remember the comparison to a waiter serving? You keep on serving, even though you're going through that trial. You keep on serving your God. You faithfully serve Him. You faithfully look up to Him. You bow down and worship Him and allow Him to guide you through that trial. You must be patient and waiting on God. Psalm 37 and verse 7, David says, "Rest in the Lord," it's a command, "and wait patiently for Him." Amen. We must be patient and waiting for Jesus Christ's return. And I might add, He's coming soon. 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 5. "And the Lord direct your hearts," speaking to the church of Thessalonica, "into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ." Amen. We must be patient in tribulation. Romans 12:12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. We must be patient in suffering wrongly. We will. 1 Peter 2, verses 19 and 20 says, "For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully, for what glory is it, if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if, when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God." Amen. We must be patient in doing good for the Lord. Romans 2, verses 6 and 7, "Who will render to every man according to his deeds, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life." Now, concerning patience, I would like us to note that it is men who are specifically told to develop patience according to the Word of God. And in Titus chapter 2, you have a list of characteristics for both men and women. Titus 2, verses 1 and 2 says, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in what? Patience." Amen. Moreover, pride is the opposite of patience. Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 8, mark that down. The Bible says, "Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof." And listen to this, "The patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit." They're set in contrast with each other. The Bible commands us to be patient toward all men. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 14. Even when they are insufferable. And let's face it, friends, we've come across many insufferable individuals. They've crossed our paths. Maybe they're even your family members. But we must be patient toward all men. Especially when dealing with the loss. We must cheerfully endure. Now I'd like us to look at some of the blessings that will come our way when we exercise patience. Exercise patience. Some of the blessings. Now, obviously, this you ought to be walking in obedience for these blessings also to come your way. So, when we exercise patience, our prayers will be heard. Our prayers will be heard. Psalms 40 and verse 1. "I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry." We will have experience. Yeah, Romans 5, verses 3 and 4. "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also." You hear that? Glory in it. "Knowing that tribulation worketh" what? "Patience." And patience" what? "Experience." And experience" what? "Hope." Indeed. We will be perfect. We will be blessed with perfection. That talks about being complete in Christ. Mature. James 1 and verse 4. "But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." We will bring forth good fruit. It's what Jesus said in Luke chapter 8 and verse 15. "But on the good ground are they which in honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit" with what? "Patience." And lastly, we'll be pleasing to God. It's a blessing. 1 Peter 2 and verse 20, "For what glory is it? When ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently. But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God." It will please God. See, biblical patience is not just waiting, but rather it means to go forth amidst resistance. It is, in essence, what a soldier does on the battlefield. Regardless of how tough it gets, they just keep going. Regardless of how tough it gets for you, and it will get tough, and it can get tough, and perhaps it is tough right now for you. I don't know what you're going through. God wants you to keep going. He wants you to keep pressing on, because Satan wants nothing better for you than to quit, to call it quits. Well, God wants you to cheerfully endure. Cheerfully endure. You see, one of Satan's greatest tactics during times of testing and great trial is to get you to think that God does not care and that he is afar off, away from you, that he's nowhere to be seen. Where is God? But the reality is God is using that trial to mold you and make you more like the Savior. Quite often we hear Romans 8 verse 28 quoted, and it's fine to quote it, where it says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose." And this is true. All things do work together for good. But the purpose was revealed in the next verse, where it says that we may be what? Conformed to the image of his Son. God allows trials to befall you so that you may be conformed to the image of his Son. If you have it too easy, Jesus Christ comes second often. Often he's in the background. You know what? You may give praises to his name, but he's not central in your life. He does not have the preeminence in your life. He is not the central figure of your home when you have it too easy. You know why? Because you're leading unto yourself. Brethren, God is using that trial to mold you right now if you're going through it. But I advise you, be patient. Let God mold you into what he wants you to be. You're the clay and he's the potter. It's not the other way around. Men, be a Job. Don't give up. Or you may want to give up. But don't give up. Remember what Paul tells us in Galatians 6 and verse 9? "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if what? We faint not." Don't give up. Now Spurgeon once said, "When you go through a trial, the sovereignty of God is the pillow upon which you lay your head." Yeah. God's in control. He's going to lead you through it. But you've got to let him. Don't give up. As we learn from Job's life, he most definitely reaped because he did not faint despite all that he lost. And he lost everything. In fact, in the end, he gained, as God had bestowed upon him, an even greater blessing. You have heard of the patience of Job. Job 42 and verse 12 says, "So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning." Job's patience paid up because of his faith, because his faith never wavered. Job's patience paid off because his faith never wavered. But it was tested. And boy, was it tested. Now I want us to look at some of the reasons for his patience during the times of testing and trial. Some of the reasons, and it's a 7-point message here. First of all, his fears were realized when the trials arrived. His fears were realized when the trials arrived. Job 3 and verse 25 says, "For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me." You see, in Job's prosperity, he feared coming troubles, which may be one of the reasons he was so diligent in offering sacrifices after his children had partied. Yeah? It seems to me that, you know what? He's probably thinking, you know, I've had it easy. And he knows that these trials are going to come. It was not a question of if, but when. When? See, his fear was not of calamity. I don't think any of your fears, or your fears should not be of calamity. But rather one of expectation sometimes. That's what his fear was. It was not of calamity, but of expectation. It's coming. But when? And if you haven't gone through it, it's coming. It's coming. Jesus said, "In this world you shall have much tribulation." It's coming. By the way, if you're lacking patience, don't pray for it, because God's going to send you some calamity your way. Don't pray for it. Job's patience was evidenced in how he handled his foes during his time of testing and trial. Yeah. So next point, his foes, when trials befell him, that tested his patience, his foes. First foe was obviously Satan, but the next foe was his own wife. Jesus said, a man's foes shall be of his own household. Matthew 10 and verse 36. Right. Yeah. Job 2 and verse 9 says, then said his wife unto him, didst thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. At his lowest moment, instead of being an encouraging helpmeet, Job's wife was a satanic hindrance sent from the enemy. If Job had hearkened unto his wife, he would never have seen God's blessing, and his life would have been shipwrecked. He may have committed suicide had he listened to his wife. Curse God and die. You know what? I praise God for my wife. I praise God for her advice. And she sees things I do not see. And the men who are married here would be, I'm sure you're saying the same thing, that your wife sees things that you do not see. But there are times when you ought not to listen to your wife, especially when she's going against what God says and His will. Now I want you to pay attention to Job's response in verse 10. His response was to sternly rebuke her. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. Oh, thou foolish woman! What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil? In other words, look, it rains on the just and the unjust. Calamity befalls all sorts, the saved and the lost. It will come your way. And calamity does come their way. Both for the saved and the lost. I've worked with people a number of years ago when I transferred over to the Ajax location. There was a young man, 27 years old, shortly thereafter, killed in a head-on collision, 27. Another young lady committed suicide a few years later, 28 years old. No, it's more, obviously, I'm not sure if she committed suicide. I think it was a suicide. Nevertheless, calamity comes either way, lost and saved, or saved and lost alike. As Matthew Henry says, Job's wife, quote, she spoke the language of the infidels and idolaters. But thankfully, Job, her husband, was a spiritual man who clearly saw God's hand in this. The patience of Job was clearly seen in his response to his wife. Yeah. Job showed patience when his friends unjustly condemned him. Next point. Verse 11. When Job's three friends heard of all this evil that was come upon him, they came everyone from his own place, Eliphaz the Temanite, and Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite, for they had made an appointment together to come to mourn with him and to comfort him. You see, initially Job's three friends had the right intention by coming down to comfort him, and they were comfort to him for a while, at least for 7 days, whilst they remained silent. But it's when they opened their mouths in condemnation that it all went awry. See, verse 13 says, so that they sat down with him upon the ground 7 days and seven nights, and none spake a word unto him, for they saw that his grief was very great. You see, they weren't in Job's shoes. They were a comfort to him just by their presence. When they remained silent and they were just there, they wept. Verse 12 says they wept. But they weren't in his shoes. Sometimes you can't relate what your dear brother is going through or your dear sister is going through. But merely just being an ear to listen is enough comfort for them. Brethren, there is a time when you need to just keep your mouth shut. Sometimes the best comfort you can be to a fellow brother in Christ is a listening ear as they vent. Because you know what? You don't know what they're going through. And don't pretend you know. Job showed patience and his faithfulness to God. His faithfulness to God. Next point. Although Job was described as a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and eschewed evil, before his trial, we learn that despite growing weary, he never wavered from his faithfulness to God. Being upright speaks of his faithfulness to God. He still continued to serve God despite what had just befallen him. He clearly saw God's hand in everything. Instead of blaming God like some would do, if they were in his circumstances, he saw that God had a purpose and a plan in allowing him to go through what he was going through. My Father planned it all. Job was faithful to his God right up until the end. He remained perfect and upright, one that feareth God and escheweth evil right up until the end. Gentlemen, can this be said of you? Ladies as well? Will you stay that course when you're going through those rough seas, when you're thinking that your ship is about to sink? Will you stay the course? Job showed patience in his faith, in his faith in God during those times of testing. Job was at a time when he couldn't find God. He looked around him, but it was like God was nowhere to be seen. It was like God had abandoned him. But the one thing he knew was that God knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Job 23 and verse 10. Job had no idea, or no doubt rather, that what came as a surprise to him, although I wouldn't believe it, it was totally a surprise, was not a surprise to God. See, gentlemen, when you are spiritual and you are walking with God, and you are obeying God, and you are actually relying on Him, indeed, regardless of good, the good or bad, you know that your Father had planned it all. You know who's in control. He may seem far away from you at that moment. You may be asking, Lord, where are you? Where art thou? But you know He's there. And you know He's refining you, and He's molding you. See, we may not see the end, or you may not see the end from the beginning, and you may not know the reasons why. By the way, it's okay to ask why. Jesus did. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? But you can rest assured in the fact that your heavenly Father planned it all for your own good. As men who are leading our homes, particularly when you have children, there will be times when we experience things in our lives that will not only surprise us, but also greatly discourage us. That trial can be very discouraging. That time of testing can be very discouraging. Often during those times, you look within too much. Now, it's good to look within at times, but you can become very self-absorbed. Lord, why haven't you brought my wife, my future wife, to me? I want to get married. Or my future husband. Why? Why have my children walked away from God? Why? Remember, our Father planned it all. One of my greatest fears is my own children turning their back on their godly heritage. Yeah. Beware. It ain't pretty on the other side. I lived on the other side before I got saved for 32 years. I lived on that side. I know what it's like. You don't know how good you have it. The world ain't a pretty place. It may seem grievous at times, certainly the reproof and the rebuke that you get at times, but you understand, we love you. By the way, any of you, I'm speaking to my children here, it's fine. Walk away from the Lord. I heard a preacher mention this on Friday, by the way. And I agree with him. Any of you walk away from the Lord, I'm not walking with you. I'm not walking with you. I'll pray for you. I'll grieve for you. I'll weep for you. I'll be as the father of the prodigal son for you. But I'm not walking down that path. I'm not following you. You've been given a lot. See, Job showed patience in his faith during times of testing. He trusted God to get through. Yeah. All he had to do was endure. All he had to do was let go and let God. And that's what he did. Are you doing that? Are you going through that trial right now? Are you? Are you letting go and letting God? You know, friends, there are times when we need to just trust God. For he has promised never to leave us nor forsake us. He won't. Trusting in God means waiting on him without placing any demands with regards to what you want as an expected outcome. Many Christians have this expected outcome in their heads that is contrary to God's will for their lives. Stop leaning onto your own understanding and trust God with all your heart, with all thine heart. It can be said that the practice of patience is somewhere between the beginning of the trial and the coming forth as gold out of the fire. Remember what Job said, I shall come forth as gold. How did he know that? He knew it because he fully trusted in his God. He believed in him. Job's patience was evidenced through his faith and by his faith in God. Yeah. Spurgeon said, to trust God in the light is nothing, but trust him in the dark, that is faith. Oh, when things are going good, that ain't faith. Let God take it away from you. Let the trials come. Now, Job's continual feeding on God's word provided him with the necessary means of exercising that patience. His feeding on God's word as his source of nourishment provided him with the adequate means of exercising that patience. Job 23 and verse 12, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. See, the source of strength during any trial is the feeding of God's word. It is his word. But sadly, it's often during times of trial that many Christians will put down their Bibles instead of picking it up. When we do this, we give the enemy a port of entry into our lives. In order to keep God's way, we need to keep his words. And we need to nourish ourselves on his holy word. This is our necessary food. You know what? You can go, probably some of you here, a few weeks without eating food, as long as you drink water. But you know what? You need this every day. You will be famished without it. You'll be famished. A man cannot lead his family properly without daily feeding on the Word of God. Feeding on God's word will always help you stay in God's way. Will always help you walk in the way that the Lord will have you walk. Neglecting to do so will always result in you veering off course. Stay in the word. It may be tough for you right now, but stay in the word. This book here is your IV. It's your nourishment during those times of trial. It's your nourishment in general. If you want to develop patience, Stay in the Word. The Bible tells us that after we are saved, we are to add patience to our faith. In fact, it's a mark of Christian maturity. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 and 6 says, "And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness." As we can see from these verses, patience is a sign of Christian maturity. The mature Christian man, and woman for that matter, has an abundance of patience. He is aware that this is a much needed virtue to possess. Yes, patience is a virtue, godly patience. For it is vital to fight the battles that will come your way. Christian, I want to add that you are in a warfare, and the Bible says that you are a soldier. Patience is absolutely vital, is an absolutely vital component if you are to lead a victorious Christian life. In order to keep going patiently, we must continually be in the Word of God. We must saturate ourselves with this book right here. You start missing days and you will become famished. You start missing days and you will walk away from the Lord. And it'll be a gradual process downward. And before you know it, you're so far away from the Lord that you didn't even realize it. Job exercised his patience by facing his trials head on. For one thing, Job knew that it was God that allowed this great trial of his to take place. He knew the source. In fact, I will take it one step further and say that Job knew it was God who allowed Satan to buffet him. He not only knew that it was God that allowed for this trial, but also that it was appointed for him. God had Job's life planned out from the beginning to the end. He has your life planned out from the beginning to the end. Now, you may veer off course, but remember that even then, God can direct you back on the right track if you allow Him. You can get right. You know what? There's many times in our Christian lives that we veer over here or off course for a bit. And so far, you may be so far off course, but you know what? You get right with God, and He can take you from that moment, that place you are, and lead you down the straight path. You may have lost some blessings, but don't think God can never use you. There is hope. Remember these words of God to the prophet Jeremiah: "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." God knows. Perhaps God is calling you right now. Are you sensitive to His calling? God knows. Be sensitive to His calling. Satan's attack on Job surprised neither God or Job. Job knew God had appointed or had set this time for him. Realizing that God appoints our trials makes them easier to face. It doesn't make them easier, absolutely not, but it makes them easier to face. 1 Peter 1, verses 6 and 7, "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations." Listen to this: "that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." Yeah, amen. James says in James 5 and verse 11, "Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job." See, the person happiest at the end of the race is the one who finished his course. Yeah. Will you finish your course? Will you finish even stronger than you started? Many start strong and finish weak. Yeah. The one who endure unto the end. Those who finish patience are those who finish with patience are those who make it through their trial and affliction. Finish the course with patience are those who make it through their trial and affliction. Do you have the patience of Job today? The way to make it through is to trust God and stay in His Word and realize that your testing, that your trial, that what you're going through is appointed by God, and God is using that to mold you and refine you. My dear friends and gentlemen, specifically, you need to exercise God-given patience. I wouldn't ask, pray for it if you're not ready, because God's going to send that tribulation. Gentlemen, if you have a wife, or even having a wife, family, and ministry, this alone will give you more than enough reason to build patience. I need to be a patient man. James says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. In Job, God gave us an example of an ordinary man who made it through very difficult and unusual circumstances. You can too. Not all of us are going through what Job went through. Perhaps you will. Who knows? I'm not exempt, by the way. No. Perhaps you will. Perhaps God will bring you to that point where you'll lose everything. But you'll still have Christ. You'll lose everything, but you have Christ. So, brethren, if you're going through that fire right now, again, don't give up. Some of you may be going through that trial that this preacher doesn't know about. I'm unaware of it. Don't give up. Be patient and endure, because God hasn't left you. He's still there. He's still there. Romans 5, verses 3 and 4. Not only so, but we glory in tribulations. Glory in those tribulations. Praise God in those tribulations. Bow down before God and thank Him during those times of trial. Thank Him when He seems to not even be present or near you. Thank Him. Don't give up. God hasn't left you. Knowing that the tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. Heavenly Father, I give Thee thanks once again for the blessing of this message. Lord, I trust it was a blessing to Thy people. Lord, there are times when we just need a message of encouragement. Lord, perhaps there's someone here, Lord, that's going through some difficult times. Yet they're putting on that brave face. Maybe that face that they want others to see, Lord, but deep down they are hurting. Deep down, Lord, they feel that it's all just falling to pieces, Lord. This may not be even due to sin in their lives. Their faith may be tested, Lord. And I pray, Lord, comfort them. Lord, there is a light at the end of that tunnel. Lord, we have Jesus Christ whom we can lean on. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Our Lord and Savior will give them rest, Lord. And I pray, Lord, give them the rest. I pray, Lord, may we all be patient, Lord, and strive to be patient, knowing that patience, Lord, worketh tribulation, Lord. I pray in Jesus' precious, holy, and wonderful, and blessed name I pray. Amen.